Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Helix Reviews podcast. My name is David Arrington, bringing you reviews from a Christian geek worldview. And today on the show, I'm talking about my Resident Evil journey from Resident Evil 4, which is where I started with the games, up to Resident Evil 2. Which is where I finished with the game. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go through each of these games as I played them. Not in the order that they came out. I'm going to go through them as I played them. So we're kind of going to be going back and forth all over the timeline here as far as Resident Evil goes. And then we're going to end up with a review of Resident Evil 2, the brand new Resident Evil game that just came out. Everybody's raving about it. What do I think? Well, I'll get to that in a bit here. But before I jump into all the mainline Resident Evil stuff, I thought, hey, you know what, I should mention that PUBG has a Resident Evil 2 crossover that I think is really fun. Now, I play PUBG Mobile, mostly, not much PUBG on the console or anything like that, but PUBG Mobile, this crossover, I think is extremely fun. Basically, it puts zombies in the world. You have to survive a couple nights while the whole Battle Royale thing's going, you know, so the ring is shrinking down on the map. You're all getting closer to each other. You have to kill each other, but also there's a bunch of zombies wandering around. And then you have tyrants that come down, and they're kind of big boss fights too, and they can mess you up depending on where they're at and all this kind of stuff too. Extremely fun. This is a limited edition thing for PUBG, but man, I'm having a blast with it. I'm loving it, and I really do wish that they would make this a full thing. I wish they would just keep this around forever, because I think this mode is so fun. I would definitely play this mode more and more in the future, but it's a limited time thing. Play it while you can get it, and if you don't have PUBG, you can download it on your phone and play it there, and it's an absolute blast, and the Resident Evil 2 mode is fantastic. Check it out. Now let's get to the real deal here. Let's talk about Resident Evil. Now, as of about a year ago, a little bit less than a year ago, actually, I had no experience with Resident Evil whatsoever. But it was always a franchise I was curious about. You know, I'm into monsters, and it's got the monsters, it's got the zombies, you know, all these different kinds of things. And I know it has all these things that I really do, you know, I like, and I think I really could get into, but it was just never a franchise that I did get into it. And so I started out with Resident Evil 4. And there's been a few times on the podcast where I've talked about Resident Evil some. And so I'm going to actually replay some of those clips because those are a part of my Resident Evil journey. And so those I'm going to have in here as the beginning of my Resident Evil journey. And then I'm going to continue and tell you the rest of my Resident Evil journey. So my Resident Evil journey, at least as far as the video games go, maybe I'll do another one of these episodes as far as the movies go or something. So far, I've only seen the first movie, and it was not that great. But so far, we're focusing right here on the video games, and I started off with Resident Evil 4 because everybody loves Resident Evil 4, and I had an experience with that game that was, I think, different probably than most people did. And so here's my experience with Resident Evil 4 as of bonus episode number 14.
Resident Evil 4.
I'm gonna try out Resident Evil 4. Everybody says that's the best of the Resident Evil games. And so I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm gonna try this out. This could be good. I don't always like it when I go back and play older games because I'm like, okay, this just doesn't live up to the games of now, you know? But I'm like, all right, everybody says this is great. You know, when I went back and I played the BioShock games, even though those are newer than Resident Evil 4, but still, I absolutely loved those. And so, you know, I sometimes do go back and enjoy games of the past, and so I'm trying it with Resident Evil 4. I expected something, you know, something pretty good, something pretty fun. Even if I don't end up continuing it, I'm like, oh, at least I'll kind of get a little bit of an experience with this game to try it out, because everybody speaks so highly of this one as it being like the ultimate entry in the franchise. So I plugged it in, I booted it up, and, you know, it loaded up. Leon there, the lead character, is riding in a car with some policemen, and then they're like, oh, let's, we gotta go to this little village because, I don't know, something's happening. And so you start walking in. I think someone was missing. I think that's why you're there. Anyway, Leon starts walking in by himself, leaving the cops behind, and then they give you the control of the character, and it's like, all right, finally, it's time to actually start playing this game. You know, is it going to be scary? Is it going to be action-y? Is it going to be cool? I don't really know. I don't know a ton about it. I just know that everybody loves this Resident Evil game. And this is the Resident Evil remake for the Xbox One. So finally, I got control of my character. I start walking through the woods towards this house that we're going to go in. And we're going to meet our first zombie kind of character there. And so I start walking. And immediately, I'm like, okay, these controls seem a little odd to me. But, you know, maybe I'm just getting into it. It's an older game. Sometimes, you know, when they're porting an older game to a newer system, you know, things feel a little funky because, you know, we're used to the newer way of the game designs and everything. So it's okay. You know, I'm going to try. I'm just going to, you know, keep going, see what happens here. I keep playing my character. I walk up and I, you know, knock on the door or whatever. No, I think I just walk on in. But I just walk in, and immediately inside the door, you have to turn left to go around, and then you end up in, like, the kitchen or whatever. And so I'm trying to turn left, and I'm, like, hitting the wall, and it's like, oh, why is this so hard to turn your character? This is ridiculous. And so I kind of get through that section. It's like, this is just ridiculous. I mean, for one thing, I don't like it when you can't really control the camera around you while you're not controlling your character. Normally, with the right stick, you can move the camera around your character without having to move your character. This one, you can do it a little bit, but then it immediately whips it back into place. But whatever, you know, it's a thing of the game. I can get used to that kind of thing. But just turning in this game with the sticks is incredibly difficult. And so I'm like, okay, this is just ridiculous. I get through the first section where I go, I like say, hey, do you know this person or whatever? Holding out a picture to the guy standing over near the fire or whatever. He turns around. He's like, oh, it's a zombie. Oh, no. And so, boom, you shoot him dead. And it's like, okay, this is kind of difficult to shoot him because it's difficult to point your character in a direction. I'm like, what is up with this? This is just strange that this video game that everybody lauds and applauds is like, it's hard to do literally the most basic function of the game, which is walk. And then I realized, oh, I think I'm doing this wrong, because when this came out, I believe it was PlayStation 2 is the era that it came out in. And I mean, again, I'm playing it on Xbox One, but when I think back in generations, I only ever had the PlayStations, not the Xboxes. Xbox One is the first Xbox console that I've ever owned. So when I think back, that's how I think back in video games. And so I think it came out in like the PlayStation 2 era of video games. But since it came back out then, you know, what we did back then was we used the arrow buttons more often than we used the sticks. I mean, the PlayStation 2 is where we started converting, and when I say we, I mean me, and probably a lot of other people. I'm assuming a lot of other people, because really it seems like games were built to use the arrow buttons versus the sticks, you know? And so, back then, I always used the arrow buttons, and that was what was natural, and so they built this game to use the arrow buttons to move, and so when you use the sticks, it's basically like when you push it up, you're just pushing the up button. When you push it left, you're pushing the left button, which is, I mean, somewhat similar to the way things work nowadays, except for there's a lot more fine-tuning in which how you can move your character around with the stick versus with the arrow buttons. So I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Since this was made back then, you're supposed to use the arrow buttons with this, not the stick. Okay, so then I started using the arrow buttons as opposed to the stick to try to move my character around. I have to, like, jump out a window, and there's a bunch of zombies, like, coming from around a bend, and then there's some zombies jumping out from inside the house you were in, coming at you. And so it's like, alright, you gotta shoot all these guys. And so, just getting out of the window, and there's a fence and like a pile of garbage, so you have to turn around and you have to face all these zombies Otherwise, you know, they're just going to hit you from behind. And so I turn around, and it's extremely difficult to turn around. Like, they're coming up, and this dude's, like, whacking me with, like, a rake. And I'm like, seriously, I cannot hardly turn around until I get turned around, and I start shooting, and they kill me. And I have to start over again. I have to jump out the window again, and then I figure out the easiest way of turning in this game. And that is pointing your gun and, like, using the scope, you know, or hitting the aim button, whatever you call that. You pull the gun up so it's as if you're aiming it, and then you turn your character. That is how I found is the easiest way to turn your character in the Resident Evil 4, which to me is just insane. Like, how can you make a game that like I said before, the most basic function of the game is so jacked up. It's like I can hardly walk. And so in order to kill these zombies, I have to get out the window, I have to walk over into the corner, and then I have to aim, and I have to move my characters, like the front of my character has to move when you're aiming, and so I move my character around facing the other direction while aiming, then I can shoot these guys with only getting hit once or twice, and then it's like, okay, now I can move on with the game. This is all just like the first couple minutes of the game. I walk over and there's like a big town and I open up the little gate, and so then there's like all these people around and I'm like, oh boy, I better start shooting them immediately because otherwise they're all just gonna come and crowd onto me and kill me because it's almost impossible to turn your character any which direction. So I start shooting them. There's too many. I can't aim fast enough. Your character moves incredibly slow and I die, and this was not a good experience with Resident Evil 4. What is up with this? Is this just the port to the Xbox One? Were the controls always like that? Because if they were, I don't know how you play through this game with these controls and then say it's good. Because, I could hardly move my character through the levels, and there was like, there's a shed in between when you're walking from the house to the big city area where there's a lot more zombies. There's like a shed with one zombie in there, and it's supposed to be like a jump scare, and it surprised me, yes, but I walked in and he's there right beside me, and I turn so slow that he's just like whacking me before I can see him to shoot him to be scared by him or anything. And so it's just like this such, it's such an ineffective way of having a jump scare. It's just, it's so ridiculous. I'm just shocked, honestly. I'm shocked that this game that everybody says is like, this is the ultimate Resident Evil game. Everybody loves this game. If you love the Resident Evil franchise, this is probably your favorite one kind of thing. But it's like, how is it that game, I play it and I can hardly walk through the game, being a person that plays a lot of first-person shooters, third-person shooters, a lot of video games, it should come naturally, and even if it's a bit wonky, you know, this is just, I just found this incredibly difficult to play, incredibly difficult just to walk from one area to another, and I'm just, I don't know, I was just shocked playing the game and going, what is this? Why is this a thing? And so after dying, when all those people come and kill me immediately, I'm just like, hey, can I just run through this level and just run out the back door and just be done with this level? And so I just try. I try to get all the way through, and I can avoid the zombies more or less, and I get all the way to what I think was the back gate that'll let you out of town, but obviously you have to play more in town and find stuff, I don't know, find keys or whatever to figure out how to get yourself through town. You know, you have to legitimately play the game in order to progress, which makes sense, but and then if already in a game, you know, 10 minutes in, 15 minutes in, however long it was, if already at that point in the game you're just trying to skip levels in the game, I mean, to me that's a sign of a game that I'm not enjoying or that I just kind of want to get finish with. And I really don't see myself coming back to ever play this game again, because this was a horrible experience for Resident Evil 4 on the Xbox One. Maybe it's just the port. Maybe on the original console it was better. Maybe not. I looked it up, and other people agree with me that it's horrible, great gameplay, essentially. Like, a lot of people are saying, the gameplay is terrible in this game. And then other people are like, nah, it's pretty good, you just gotta get used to it. And it's like, okay, maybe I do have to get used to it, but I'm not gonna spend any more time playing the game than I did, because it was just such a pain in the butt to play that first, you know, half hour or so that I did play, because I could not walk properly. It was so stupid. Like, I legitimately do not understand.
Resident Evil 4.
So there you go. That was my initial thoughts diving into Resident Evil 4. Not most people's opinion. I had a really hard time actually playing this game and actually getting really any enjoyment at all out of it. I think the most enjoyment I got out of Resident Evil 4 was recording that episode about it, because that was really fun. So other than that, that game really let me down, but I knew there was more to the franchise. I knew there was more to come out of this, and so here I am. I keep diving in, I keep trying a little bit more, because I do think, okay, there is gonna be more to this franchise that I'm gonna like. There's gonna be more to this franchise that I really do think that I could enjoy, and I want to give it that chance more so than what I did with Resident Evil 4. So let's try what was then the latest entry in the franchise, Resident Evil 7. Now, this is from episode 200, which is my top 100 favorite games of all time. I had just finished playing that game when I did that list, and I stuck it on that list, and so I actually talked a decent amount about it in that list, more so than I did most of the other games. Here's that clip of me talking about it.
Biohazard 7.
Number 40. I have Resident Evil 7. Okay, so if you heard my podcast a while back, I did a bonus episode on Resident Evil 4 and also the Resident Evil movie. I didn't really care for the Resident Evil movie, and Resident Evil 4 I also didn't really care for, surprisingly enough. And so I wanted to play more Resident Evil. I wanted to play something else in the franchise, because I wanted to see why people love this franchise so much. And I didn't want to play Resident Evil 5 in case it was like Resident Evil 4 and it just sucked. But I mean, I know everybody loves Resident Evil 4, but I just didn't like it. And so I wanted to play some more in the Resident Evil franchise to get an idea of what people like about this franchise. I know this is a completely different, like, direction for the franchise. It's first person. It's more of almost like a haunted house kind of story in some ways, with, like, monster kind of elements to it as well. And just so good. So scary. The opening hour of this game is the most terrifying game I have ever played. So scary. And then after that, it gets less scary, but it never gets not scary for me. I'm not gonna say that. The last hour of the game, I'd say, is by far the least scary part of the game. But I guess that's the part where they're explaining everything. They're explaining the story. They're explaining what everything you just went through. And so I guess it was kind of needed, but at the same time, the last like mission or so of the game was also kind of out of place in some ways, but at the same time, extremely fun. Don't care. It was so, so good. I absolutely loved it. Absolutely terrifying. Great setups for scares, great scares, and a great, like, sense of urgency and managing your weapons and everything in your system. I normally don't like it when games go, hey, you're full of stuff, you can't pick up a flower now. And it's like, dude, you could shove a flower in your pocket, you know, faster than you can shove 10 shotguns in your pocket, you know. But this game, they have a very small system for how much room you have. And it's like, oh, okay, you know, this, it does actually make sense technically, but most of the time in video games, I don't like that. In this, I liked it because it made you be very, very specific about what you carried around, very specific about, you know, what you, like, I have to bring this, I guess I don't have to bring this, I'm gonna have to give this up in order to go forward, you know, all this stuff, and it was so well done, so fun, so creepy, great, great boss battles in this game, just so good. I loved Resident Evil 7, seriously, I was surprised at just how much I loved this game, and dude, if they make a Resident Evil 8 that's in this style, I'm totally gonna play it. Resident Evil 2 coming up looks absolutely awesome, so I'm gonna have to play some of that. And on the Xbox Game Pass, they have Resident Evil the original, so I think I'm gonna try that one out as well. So, man, Resident Evil 7, I just absolutely loved it. Like, shockingly, I just loved it so much. So good. So crazy, creepy, weird, and awesome. That's number 40, Resident Evil 7.
Biohazard 7.
Number 40, that's really good for a game that I had just played, but man, I love this game. Resident Evil 7 is just so good, so intense, such just a visceral kind of experience all the way through. So good. Interesting story, some interesting characters actually, and I just really, really enjoyed Resident Evil 7 all the way around. I keep actually finding out, like, new things about this game. Like I just recently heard that, like, at certain points in the game, you know, if you do a certain thing or a certain thing, Jack can actually, Jack's the lead character, can get, like, his limbs cut off, and then you have to grab them and, like, reattach them with the fluid that you use to heal yourself. It's absolutely ridiculous, but that was something I completely missed in the game. Like, I did not see that at all. I was listening to a podcast where people were talking about Resident Evil, and they said that, and I'm like, what? Really? And I looked it up on YouTube, and I'm like, well, that's pretty gnarly, and I didn't see that at all. And it happens, it's not just once or anything, it's like, it happens multiple points in the game where it could happen to multiple limbs on your body, and it never happened to me, you know? Also, like, I love this boss fight. The boss fight in the garage is so fantastic, but it can be won multiple ways. Like, I got in the car and I ran him over. Wait just a minute. Jack is the name of the main villain, not the name of the main hero. Ethan is the name of the main character. You're playing as Ethan. Sorry, got that wrong. So Ethan could get his limbs cut off and you have to reattach them. There. Sorry about that. But you can fight when you're fighting Jack in the garage, and like, I got into the car, and I ran him over, and that's how I, like, finished that boss fight. But there's other ways. Like, he can get in the car and run you over, you know? He can get in the car and kill himself, or, you know, there is multiple ways for that boss fight ultimately to play out, and for ultimately you to defeat him and all this stuff. And that is so crazy and interesting and so cool. That was, like, it's kind of a highlight. One of the highlights of that game for me is that boss fight is so cool. All the boss fights in this game are so cool. The big creepy lady with long legs that's the mama is just, man, that is so creepy and weird and so cool. So well done. The balance of the ammunition and everything that you have versus how much you need to use and all that stuff is very well executed. Resident Evil 7, just an absolutely fantastic game. I love it, and by far the scariest game I've ever played. Man, that first, like, hour or so of the game, absolutely terrifying. And then once you get into it, you know, it does get a little bit less scary, but still the scariest game I've ever played. So good, so fun, love Resident Evil 7. And so then after that, I'm like, alright, now I'm getting into this. I didn't like one of my Resident Evil experiences, and I really loved my other one, so I'm gonna try out some other ones here. And when my local video store had a rent one, get one free deal, for video games, I was like, well, all right, I'm going to try this out. So I rented Resident Evil The Origins Collection, which has Resident Evil 1 and Resident Evil 0 on it. And then I, you know, rent one, get one free. So I rented also Resident Evil 5. Going to give that one a shot. So the first one I tried out here was Resident Evil 1. Resident Evil. Didn't know a ton about Resident Evil 1 going in, but you go into a mansion, there's zombies, and you can choose a couple different characters here. So I started the game on medium. I chose Chris Redfield because, generally speaking, when there's a choice between a guy and a girl player, I choose the guy. So I chose Chris Redfield, and I mean, obviously I'm a Resident Evil noob, especially this kind of Resident Evil, which is the old school version of Resident Evil I've never played any of. And I thought, okay, you know, I actually thought Leon was the main character of the first game. You know, I thought, oh, I'm going to choose Leon. I knew there was two choices. I knew there was a boy and a girl you could choose, but I thought I was going to choose Leon because I thought he was the lead character the first game. No, he doesn't come around until the second game, though, you know, he's actually the character that I'd heard of before all this Resident Evil stuff. Maybe, I guess, from Resident Evil 4. I'm not exactly sure why I knew who Leon Kennedy was. But hey, he's not. I played as Chris Redfield. Now, okay, going into this game, first off, the camera is just absolute garbage. It's awful. I hate it. It's you can't control it, and the angles they choose to use, and the fact that they keep switching the camera back and forth, so that you have to be constantly like changing the direction of your analog stick in order to tell your character where to go and how to go straight and all this stuff, is just extremely annoying and obnoxious. You know, this game, also, it doesn't tell you how to play, which, I mean, doesn't help, you know, it's just kind of annoying, but, I mean, I guess I've played enough games, I just kind of figured it out, and that was fine. Storyline-wise, I mean, it wasn't very good. That's par for the course, though, for games this old, so I wasn't surprised. I'd say maybe it's on the slightly more interesting side of the spectrum than for most games that came out around this time, or really, you know, pre PlayStation 3 generation, but, you know, not very good, not very interesting. I really didn't care. Plan going here, this is my experience so far, and then I died. A zombie killed me, and it sent me back out to the main screen, and I literally had to start the entire game over, watching the first cutscene again, going into the mansion, going into rooms, solving some of these same puzzles. I literally had to start the game entirely over. I even had to select the difficulty and the screen size and everything again. Literally everything, starting completely over, because there's no autosave system. You have to... Apparently, in order to save, you have to use something in-game. There's something in-game you have to use in-game in order to save, which is just the most stupid, obnoxious, awful thing ever, in my opinion. I hate it when games do this, and especially this example, because I've never had a game where I died and not only did I have to go back? I've had to go back, you know, a decent ways in some games because, you know, it's like their autosave system's not very good or whatever. But, you know, you only have to manually save. And, hey, I didn't manually save for, you know, 15, 20 minutes and now I'm back that far and that stinks. But this game, it's just sent me all the way back to the home screen, which was so annoying and just makes me want to stop playing and just not even bother. It's so annoying. And then there was another time where I opened a door and hey, randomly a dog jumps in and immediately kills me and sends me back, you know, way back and all this kind of stuff. It's just like, it's so cheap and stupid and awful. I am glad that game makers have decided to put save points in games and auto saves and all that kind of stuff, because man, this is just awful and obnoxious and a pain in the butt. But okay. And then there was actually another time while I was playing too, where I like picked something up And immediately, like, a trap popped up and just killed me and sent me back, like, 20 minutes. It was so stupid. I'm so annoying. Anyway, it's cheap, it's stupid, and, you know, it's just annoying. It's incredibly annoying. I'm glad we've moved past this in video games. So, I chose Chris Redfield first, right? After dying and going back to the home screen, I looked into it a little bit. I saw some of the differences between the characters. There is actually some legitimate differences between the characters. So I decided to try out playing as Jill Valentine to see if it would, to see the differences, and also because it looked like some of the things in the game would actually be easier for someone with a little bit more of a modern sensibility with video games like me. So I tried that, and I was actually kind of surprised at how different the game was. I mean, it was all basically the same, but it actually, like, changed up a couple little story beats, and it changed up a few things so that you're here instead of him, and it was interesting. Like, one, you had a character following you, one, you didn't, and it was just, like, little things like that, where it's like, you know what, that's kind of interesting differences. You know, if I was going to play through this game, that would give me a good incentive to replay it, right? And so I thought that was pretty cool. And looking at this game, I mean, it's nowhere, in my opinion, it is nowhere as good as Resident Evil 7, at least from the bit I've played. But I can see where the genius that is Resident Evil 7 came from this game. I mean, first off, it has a good atmosphere. I mean, it's not very scary, if I'm being honest. But it is, like, unsettlingly quiet. There's very little music or anything in here. And then when the zombies moan or they get back up after you shoot them sometimes, you know, it's like, it's good stuff, you know, setting up some good atmosphere in here that I enjoyed. The setting and the puzzles are very similar to Resident Evil 7. You know, you find these things, you put them in here, it opens up the door or whatever, you know, very, I guess kind of old school type of puzzles, but they, you know, it's very much kind of the puzzles that Resident Evil had. And you have, like, one big house to explore, and that was primarily what Resident Evil 7 was. And so far in this game, that seems to be primarily what Resident Evil 1 was. You just have this one big house to explore, you solve puzzles, and you find items, and you get to the next area in this house, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger. And I like when a game can pull off this kind of level design well, and Resident Evil 7 definitely did. And I think what I was seeing here with the original Resident Evil, it was as well. And also here you got, like, the tiny inventory, much like Resident Evil 7, where you have to, you know, what can I carry, what can I not carry, all this kind of stuff. Ultimately, in conclusion, I actually kind of enjoyed my time with this game. I mean, it's not amazing. If you're not nostalgic for this, I wouldn't necessarily say, hey, check this out or anything. I'll probably never finish it, if I'm being honest, but I liked it more than I was expecting. So, I mean, there's that. I guess I just kind of hope they make a remake of this game in the same way that they made a remake of number 2. So, after playing the original Resident Evil some, I was like, alright, now I'm gonna move on to Resident Evil 5.
Resident Evil 5.
I want a game that has a little bit more modern control scheme here. So, started Resident Evil 5, and after playing for several hours here, I was actually really enjoying it. I thought it was fun. The third-person controls that this game has are fairly clunky and archaic, but I mean, it's pretty much what I expected considering the previous games, and hey, you know what, I could actually get used to them and actually play with them, kind of unlike Resident Evil 4, so, you know, there's that. There's a positive, I guess. I liked the dynamic between the player and the AI companion. At first, I was just picking up everything, picking up all the ammo, picking up everything, and then then she ran out of ammo, you know? And I was like, oh, now I'm just, I'm gonna have to do all the work and she's gonna be no help at all. And so there was actually times where I'm like, hey, you pick up this ammo, I'll pick up this ammo. And then she would actually help. She would, you know, shoot zombies or different things like that. There's been several, bigger monsters and bosses and stuff like that. And I thought it was fun. It was thoroughly enjoyable. Definitely more of an action bent. Not very scary at all. Just an action monster kind of game. But for that, it was fun. And I was enjoying it. The story's not that great. It has, I think it had the potential, you know, to be good. And you know, there's actually, like, some plot threads along the lines of kind of Resident Evil, or The Evil Within 2 and stuff. Which I was kind of, you know, thinking, oh, that's kind of interesting what they're doing there. But, I mean, this is, you know, this is old-time video game storytelling. Meaning, it's not very good. You know, it's not that great. There you go. It does, however, have split screen couch co-op, and that makes it so much better. So after playing it solo for a while, I'm like, hey, whoa, this has split screen. Dude, I'm gonna get together with my brother and I'm gonna play this game. And I mean, yeah, it's kind of clunky and everything, and I don't really care about the story and everything, but the fact that I can play this with my brother all the way through, beginning to end, it makes this so much more enjoyable. If I ever actually buy this game, that's how I'm gonna finish it, as I'm gonna play it with my brother, because that is way more fun than the solo few hours that I put into it there. That's really what makes me want to buy this game more so than the solo, even though I was having a pretty good time either way. I'm probably gonna end up finishing this game at some point. It's fun. It's enjoyable. It's not amazing. It's not great. It's not anything groundbreaking or impressive or, you know, I understand why Resident Evil fans are not very high on this game, because it pretty much completely ditches any of the scariness of the previous games. I found it fun as just kind of a monster shooter. And so, yeah, Resident Evil 5. Not too bad, actually. So then after that, I'm like, alright, now I've rented this Origins collection in Resident Evil 5. I'm gonna try out at least Resident Evil 0, which is also on the Origins collection here.
Resident Evil 0.
Resident Evil 0, this is, as the name implies, a prequel to the original Resident Evil game. It stars some anime girl, and I don't just say that because she's Japanese, or at least she looks Japanese. I say that because she acts like an anime girl, she looks like an anime girl, and she pretty much is an anime girl in an animation style that's not exactly anime. So take what you will from that, I guess, but she's your fairly prototypical anime girl, even down to the sounds of anime going, some of those weird sounds that anime does that I don't really understand, but they're there. So the writing in this game, first off, the writing is just kind of terrible. It's terrible, and I mean, honestly, the voice acting I thought was pretty bad too. The story seemed like, you know, it could have had some interesting stuff in there, but I don't know, the writing and everything was just pretty bad. Honestly, I thought the bit that I played of Resident Evil 1 had more interesting characters and stuff than this game did, but I don't know. Maybe if I played some more, I would have a different opinion there. The controls I actually found less intuitive this time around than Resident Evil 1. Which is kind of weird. I don't know. They probably, like, updated the controls some for the PlayStation 4 version of Resident Evil 1. So that's probably why that is. But it's kind of weird because it's like, all right, now I knew how to do pretty much everything in Resident Evil 1, and I can figure all that stuff out pretty easy. There was a few things here where it was like, oh, this is less intuitive than that, which is, it's just kind of weird. The puzzles are not as good. I mean, I couldn't get past the first puzzle without a guide, which is pretty bad. I don't know if that's bad for me or if that's bad for the game, but that's what it was. It is kind of interesting that you switch back and forth between two characters. So that kind of makes puzzles more interesting. So it's like, oh, okay, this character goes over here, does this. This character goes over here, does this. It triggers this. Now you can go forward or whatever. Something like that. That does cause for some more interesting puzzle kind of mechanics and things like that, which is kind of cool. The visuals, actually thought the visuals looked less impressive than Resident Evil 1. And I know Resident Evil 1, that one was definitely the up-resed version because that looked, you know, pretty good. It looked really good for a PlayStation 1 game. You know, this one, I actually thought was less impressive visually, but okay. There was some cool and gross like monster designs that I thought were pretty cool. I enjoyed those. I even fought a giant scorpion at one point, which I think would have been cool if the entire boss fight wasn't on the edge of two screen angles and it was constantly changing back and forth. I could never see really where I was in relation to him unless I walked right on top of the scorpion and then he would like attack me and hurt me. It made no sense. It was really annoying and it's kind of a bummer because it could have been a cool boss fight if only they didn't make it with this crappy control scheme of the camera and everything, you know, but I guess that's old games for you. What you gonna do? Overall, Resident Evil Zero, it's meh. It's fine, I guess. I mean, it's not totally awful. I could actually play it. I mean, again, unlike Resident Evil 4, I know I'm bagging a lot on Resident Evil 4, but, you know, there's a positive. I could actually play it, but I'll probably never play it again, though. I mean, if I'm gonna play a Resident Evil game in this style, it's probably going to be Resident Evil 1. I mean, if I'm being honest, that's going to be it. So, from here, from Resident Evil 0, up next, I played the Resident Evil 2 one-shot demo.
Resident Evil 2 demo.
This thing, alright, I'm going to save most of my thoughts on this for the actual Resident Evil 2 review, because lots of my thoughts on this apply to that. But I'll say, the one-shot demo, in theory, is interesting, but on the other hand, it's also kind of annoying. I did not get through that one-shot demo in one shot. There's a beginning and an end to the demo, and yet you only have 30 minutes to play it. I'm just kind of wandering around in the hallways, you know, trying to figure out some puzzles and stuff, and then it's just like, and that's the end! And it's like, well, that stinks. I know, that's... I wanted to actually, you know, get to the end of the puzzle. The whole thing, one shot thing, maybe keep that and take off the time limit or something. I don't know. I guess it gave me a taste of the game and I went, ooh, that taste of the game was really good. I'm really excited for this. But it was kind of annoying to just end it on just like, and that's the end. You didn't finish the demo. You know, sucks to be you kind of thing. And it's just like, well, that stinks, you know. That kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth, even though the taste of the gameplay and everything was really cool. Let's just get to Resident Evil 2.
Resident Evil 2.
In Resident Evil 2, you follow Claire and Leon as they go into this big police station and there's zombie outbreak and they have to figure out how to get out, what to do, and all this kind of stuff. It's very simple video game setup for a great zombie game here. Alright, so you're gonna hear me talk about my first run through this and my second run. I did play through the campaign twice, and that is because you have two characters you can choose between. You can choose between Claire Redfield and Leon Kennedy, and I played one through each, and I'll give my opinion on those different things and what that's about there. So if you keep hearing me say, you know, my first run through or my second run or any of that, that's what I'm referencing here. So, okay, first off, the graphics are phenomenal, absolutely amazing. The facial animation is amazing, and the just everything looks so detailed and real and so awesome. This is honestly some of the best graphics that I've ever seen. It is so good. Some of the best facial animation I've ever seen. So good, so impressive, so cool. And then we get the zombies here. Probably the best basic zombies that I have ever played in a video game. What I mean by basic zombies is that they're not fast zombies, they're not the strong zombies, they're not, you know, crazy mutated zombies. They're just your basic average zombies, but man, the way they act, the way they sound, the way they move, everything, these just feel like the absolute quintessential zombies that you will ever play in a video game. They're pretty much perfect zombies, and they're awesome. The gore effects with these, and like the way when you shoot them, like pieces will like fall off and stuff, it's really gross, but it is like so technically amazing that it's like, that is so awesome and so impressive what they did there with these zombies and everything. I mean, you can technically shoot a zombie in the stomach and split it in half with a shotgun and stuff. It's like, dude, that is insane. Like the amount of work they did and how the zombies can all like come apart and stuff like that. It is really impressive, really cool. The biggest difference I'd say between these zombies and most like basic zombies, it takes a good 3 to 4 headshots to actually kill these zombies, which is, you know, most of the time it's like bang, headshot, zombie dead. And I was wondering, like, all right, this is a lot of headshots in order to kill these zombies. Is this really gonna work with zombies and filling up everything? And it's like, is this gonna be good? But it completely works. Like, having to shoot them down that much and everything, it makes it so you don't just pop off headshots and you can have a ton of ammo and that kind of stuff. It really makes you, forces you to conserve your ammo better, and it forces you to decide how to take down the zombies. If there's 2 or 3 zombies right there, it's like, okay, how am I going to take these down? Do I headshot and try to take them down all? But that's going to be a lot of bullets, you know? Am I try to distract them or something and then get through, or all this kind of stuff? This is the kind of game where you do not kill all the zombies because you can't afford to, because you need the ammunition. You know, you need to save the ammunition for zombies, but also, you know, for the bosses and for all these other things, you need to have ammo at the ready. And they do a fantastic job at balancing that. The balance between how much ammo you have, always feeling like you don't have quite enough most of the time. There was a couple times where I was like, all right, I have quite a bit of ammo right now. But then, you know, something happens or something goes down and it runs down my ammo. And then you're there. And they do a really good job at balancing it of, you almost never seem like you have enough ammo, but you always actually do have enough ammo to do what you need to do to get through the game. Really good balance, really good kind of survival horror mechanics here. And beyond the zombies themselves, there are creatures in this that are super cool and weird and gross, and I really enjoyed the monsters and the monster designs in this game. The boss fights, I mentioned them, but the boss fights are great. They are, you know, close quarters and intense, true to Resident Evil, and just fantastic, you know? And again, you have just enough ammo to get you through here, but it's like you're never just blasting away at them because you never really have enough ammo to do that. Occasionally you do. Occasionally I built up enough to use more ammo than I needed to, but just fantastic. Great, great balance, great design. And I mean, gameplay-wise, for the most part here, you know, as far as how you control the character and everything, I mean, it's excellent. I mean, it's very similar to what they did with Resident Evil, or with The Evil Within 2, if you've ever played that. Control scheme-wise, it's very similar to that, and it's your fairly basic, like, third-person shooter kind of gameplay, but it is so smooth and fluid and just, you know, pretty near perfect that it's just fantastic, absolutely great, and just, you know, great weapons. The weapons you get, there's a bunch of different ones ultimately you can get, and they all feel unique and useful in their own way. I'll say one main exception. Claire has an electricity-based weapon that is supposed to be like super powerful, apparently, but I found it so useless. It was so completely useless. Maybe I wasn't using it right or something. I don't know, but like I could hardly kill a single enemy with it, so I just stashed it away at a certain point in my inventory in my box. You have a box where you can save stuff that'll pop up around the map, and I just stashed it away there to save on inventory space so I could have a couple more spots to store things that I actually needed. This game has an amazing atmosphere. As soon as you walk in, the way the zombies sound and the tone and the mood of everything is absolutely fantastic. The story of this game is extremely simple. Very, very simple. Probably because, I mean, I guess there does get to be a little bit more a little later on in the game, but it's very simple for the most part. Probably because it's based on an old game and, you know, the old games, that's just how they kind of were, and now you can develop stories a lot more and stuff like that, but it works. You know what, the simple story works for the most part. They do a really good job at making Claire and Leon both very likable characters, easy to root for kind of characters, and the performances and everything, I think, actually gives them some layers and some character depth that you know would be hard to be there with the, you know, the graphics and the way people voice acted back in the day, because most old video game voice acting is not very good, to be honest. So the story and the characters, all pretty simple, but pretty effective at the same time, I thought. The sound design in this game is incredible. This is not the kind of thing I normally talk about in a review, because it's the kind of thing that I don't really notice, I guess, for the most part. It's not something that I'm very, skilled at knowing what I'm talking about with sound design a lot of times, right? But man, the sound design of this is so good, because they have this like spatial audio thing going on where you can tell exactly where stuff is based on the sound, which, I mean, you can kind of do in other video games, but man, this is so pinpoint accurate with whatever technology they're using in order to very specifically place, like, oh, there's a zombie right on the other side of this thing and to my left a little bit that I don't see, but I hear him. And I can tell exactly where he is. I walk around the corner, whatever, and it's right there. It's exactly where it sounds like it is. This is definitely a game to wear headphones with while you're playing, because it places the zombies exactly where they are in such a great way, and it's so cool. It's so cool. More video games need to implement this, for sure. After playing this, I played a little bit of The Hunter Call of the Wild, I think is what it's called. It's a hunting game, and I was like looking around, and there was a deer coming up to shoot that I was playing, and it was like I could hear it, and I could tell it's coming, generally speaking, from this direction. And I was like looking around, and it's like, it's over there, or whatever, you know. But this game, like how pinpoint accurate they got the sounds, is so impressive that it's just like it's so well done, so cool. And man, again, more games need to use this technology and to do this kind of pinpoint accuracy with the sounds. It's so cool. The score is really good and unsettling, and some of the themes for the enemies are just fantastic. All right, something I complained about a little bit in previous games is back a little bit here. This has a fairly poor auto-saving system, and for the most part, you do have to go and you have to save in-game. Which is kind of annoying, but, and you know, you can lose like up to 15 minutes of progress, 15-20 minutes of progress, which You know, I hate it when games make you play the same thing over and over. That's just so annoying. But I guess this is a big step up from what they used to do. So, all right, I guess there's that. But I don't like it when you have to replay sections of games and stuff. So I wish that they would, the games would have better saving systems than they do. So far, playing this game, it's been amazing. I've been having so much fun, having a blast. And then the tyrant shows up. Okay, everybody's praising the tyrant. Everybody seems to love the tyrant in here. The tyrant, in case you don't know, this isn't really a spoiler. They showed it in the marketing and everything. But the tyrant is a character that will relentlessly pursue you anywhere on the map. And, okay, so I'm trying to get through this section. But then this character is relentlessly pursuing you, and at first it's like freaky and scary, and like, oh, run away, and all this kind of stuff, but then it gets to a point where you're trying to solve puzzles, and you're trying to get through this section, but you're just bashing your head into a wall until it falls over, you know? You're bashing your head into this wall of trying to figure out this puzzle, but then he bursts in and is like, oh, well, guess I'm dead, or guess I have to run away for a long time. It is like bashing your head into a wall, because it's not very fun, and it just kind of gives me a headache doing this. It's so annoying. He is easily the worst part of the game, in my opinion. He ceases to be scary at a point. Like, because, like, at first he's kind of scary because he's chasing you down, but then he stops being scary, and it's just like, oh, well, there he is again. I guess I just have to run away and run around and then come back. And, you know, it's just like, it's so annoying. It's just a pain in the butt. And then there was even a part in the game where he's pursuing you, and there's like a puzzle you have to do in this room, and there's something big in the center of the room. And so what I did was I ran around the thing, and he would chase me around it. And then when I get to the other side, I would try to solve a little bit of the puzzle, go around the room again, try to solve a little bit more, go around the room again, try to solve a little bit more. And it was just, it's so annoying. It's just a pain in the butt, and it's just easily the worst part of this game, in my opinion. I will say, the tyrant is a lot better in Leon's run, or at least the second run of the game. My first run of the game was Claire Redfield. My second run was Leon Kennedy. I did enjoy his part in Leon's story better, or in the second run. I don't exactly know how it works as far as, you know, when he shows up and stuff. It's a little bit different in your second or first run. So I don't know if he, you know, I don't know if he always shows up in the same spot on your first run, or if he always shows up in the same spot for the specific characters. But either way, I guess, my second run, which I was playing as Leon, I do think they used him better there, because they used him more sparingly. He still chased you down and stuff, but there was, like you could get away, and he would be gone for a while, and I actually kind of started liking his addition to the game at points, because he would be there, he would chase you down, you would have that intense sequence, but instead of that, you know, overstaying its welcome, there would be the intense sequence, there would be that intensity, you'd hear him stomping around, and then he would be gone, and you could, you know, you could just go on your way, you could continue doing the puzzles, you could continue actually playing the game. And I actually thought, okay, you know what, this is how he should have been in the first place. He was so annoying in the first run, and I was not looking forward to having to deal with him again in the second run, but I think they handled him a lot better in the second run with Leon. Again, I don't know exactly how that works, but in my second run with Leon, they handled him a lot better than they did in my first run with Claire, because he made me want to quit the game almost playing with him, because it was not because it was scary, just because it was so annoying. It made me, the game stop being fun for a portion of the game, and he's in there for a good portion of the game, which is, it's too bad, because, you know, I wish he wasn't. So So I'm mentioning back and forth these runs and stuff. All right, so I played through the campaign twice, once as Claire Redfield the first time and the second time as Leon Kennedy. Was the second run worth it? Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so while a lot of the... I mean, it's the same basic campaign with both characters. A lot of the puzzles and a lot of the actions and even, like, a lot of the boss fights and stuff are repeated in the second run of the game. But the story is very different, especially once you get to the second half. The story is very different than the other characters. And then you also get to go to some new areas, some different boss fights, some different big monsters. You meet several new characters. You get a whole new weapon set. Some of the puzzles are a little bit, you know, switched up, though primarily the puzzles are the same. It's not a completely new game, but I'd say it's like a remixed version of the first run with a totally different story. It's great. I loved playing through a second time. If you've played through a first time and didn't play through a second time, I'd say you're missing out, because there is a lot more fun to be had with this game than what just the first run of the game. So definitely play it again if you've only played it through once, because there's so much more that you're missing. Okay, so then there's some other modes to this game. We have fourth survivor mode, and then we have three little DLCs, or I don't know if you call them DLCs if you just get them for free in a download. Like, you didn't even have to go download it. It just came in an update. So I don't know if you technically call that a DLC. But you get three little missions that were called Ghost Survivor missions. And then Fourth Survivor was a mission that was already in there. And those are all fairly similar to each other. What those are is basically other little kind of side stories where you say, hey, you have this character, but there's really not much story to it. You read a little thing at the beginning. And then basically, you have to get from point A to point B in this big map that you've opened up. You have to get from point A to point B, and there's tons of enemies, and you have to get around them, you have to shoot them, you have to do all these things in order to get through this thing. I couldn't get through any of them when it was not on training mode, because these are difficult. These are like challenges kind of things. They're fun. They're super fun, but they're very challenging, and they're really made for speedrunners. Honestly, speedrunning is definitely not something that I do. I'm impressed by speedrunners, though. I like see speedrunners like, dang, how do you do this? That just takes a lot of work and talent and stuff that I'm not gonna put into this game. But then I do, I look up a speed run to this, and, you know, it took me 10-15 minutes to get through, and they, you know, get through in, you know, 5 minutes or something. It's like, man, you're going through really fast, and they know, you know, throw the grenade here, you run, you shoot, you run, and all this kind of stuff. It's like, man, speedrunners are impressive, and that's really what these modes are made for, and this whole game really is like a speedrunner's dream, I guess. I don't know. Speedrunners love this game, and I can tell why. You know, those modes, while fun, I don't really know that I'm ever really gonna go back to those modes. If I go back to the game, I'm probably just gonna, you know, replay the campaign. I'll probably play the campaign with Leon as a first run, you know, to try to see how that's different, you know, if I go back to it. But those are fun, and if you're into that kind of thing, that's definitely something to check out. Pretty good stuff. I think this game would be a 5 out of 5 game for me if it didn't have the stuff with the Tyrant, with Mr. X. If it didn't have that stuff, I think this would be a 10 out of 10 game for me. But that stuff really does pull it down. I think that... this is probably like a 4.5 out of 5 stars. Still absolutely fantastic. I'm even tempted to pull it down even slightly lower than that, because that Tyrant stuff really did drag the game down when the Tyrant was there, in my opinion. But overall, this is such a phenomenal, fantastic game. Loved it. And this is, you know, this is going to be one of my favorite games of the year easily. Resident Evil. And that was my Resident Evil journey. Now, there is more Resident Evil I want to experience. There's more Resident Evil I want to play. So what are some of the things that I kind of look forward to? I'm looking at these games and stuff. I'm like, all right, I have a few here that I want to try out. But first, the Helix Reviews podcast is a proud member of the Christian Geek Central Network, a hub of all kinds of cool Christian geeky stuff from around the web. It's all funneled to ChristianGeekCentral.com. Check it out. All right, so the games that I'm looking forward to play here in the future, I do want to finish Resident Evil 5. Maybe check out Resident Evil 6. I know that game was not well accepted at all. Like, Resident Evil fans did not like that game at all. That said, I'm enjoying Resident Evil 5, which is definitely the more action take on the franchise, and I think that's what Resident Evil 6 is too. So maybe if I'm enjoying Resident Evil 5, I'll enjoy Resident Evil 6 as well. I also want to play Resident Evil Revelations 1 and 2. I'm interested in those games. I think those star Claire Redfield as well. So I'm interested in those, and those are fairly well reviewed and stuff. And so I want to check those out, and maybe even retry Resident Evil 4. Maybe give it another shot. Maybe, you know, give it another shot to give it actually a fair shake, because maybe I didn't give it enough of a fair shake, but I didn't have a good experience with it the first time, so I don't really expect to have a good experience with it next time. But maybe I'll give it another shot, and maybe after I play some of these games and a new Resident Evil game comes out, maybe I can do my Resident Evil journey continued or something along those lines. My creator spotlight this week is gonna go to a YouTube channel that I think is pretty cool. It's called She's S-H-E-S-E-Z. So what this guy does, he's a gaming channel where his main series that I really like is called Boundary Break. So what he does is he somehow can get and control the camera of the game, where he'll go outside of where your character is and he'll look around. So he did this for Resident Evil 2, actually, and he'll look and he'll see, hey, look, Mr. X, you know, this tyrant that's chasing you down, he actually is walking and searching the entire premises, unlike how most games would do that, which is actually really cool and interesting. He'll go into rooms that you can never go into the game, and sometimes he'll find random things in there. He'll go under the map, and there'll be, like, you know, some prototype design of something that you never see in the game. It's extremely cool, extremely interesting, and very unique. Check out She's Boundary Break. You search Boundary Break, there's gonna be a whole lot of videos for this. You got Bloodborne ones, Dark Souls ones, you got Resident Evil ones, you got ones about Evil Within, all kinds of different ones you're gonna find there. They're very interesting, very cool. I really do enjoy this guy. Check him out. But that is it for this episode of the Helix Reviews podcast, a podcast that is a proud member of, I already did that, so there you go. All right, up next on the show, I'm gonna count down my list of video games that I would like to see remade in the style of Resident Evil 2. Not in the style in the sense that, hey, I want a Resident Evil game, I want this game remade like Resident Evil 2 with zombies or whatever, you know. Remade in the sense that a complete overhaul of what the original Resident Evil was. I'm gonna count down the video games that I want remade like Resident Evil 2 was remade. So look forward to that. That's all for this time. This is David Arrington of the Helix Reviews Podcast signing off. Bye-bye, guys.
Leon's Revenge.
Resident Evil.
2099.
Resident Evil.
Within.
Resident Evil.
The T-Virus Strikes Back.
Resident Evil.
Hey, we're the monkeys.
Resident
You can literally put anything after the Resident Evil voice guy and it would be funny.
Resident Evil.
Pizza.
Resident Evil.
Please stop.
Resident Evil.
Ha, ha, never gonna stop.
Resident
Evil. Self-termination in progress.
Resident Evil.
Terminated. Goodbye.